Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Have you ever thought about that? Like, man, like you watch some of these guys get to do these things, whether it's these award shows or feature films, maybe a certain product they're pitching, something like that. Is there ever anything like you thought, like, man, I'm so jealous of so-and-so that he got to do this?
Yeah, you know, and this is not just because we're here and there's one outside, but walk the red carpet, get out of the limo, walk the red carpet, you know, private jet, just that whole star treatment.
Anything like a movie premiere or an award show, the ESPYs maybe.
Yeah, the ESPYs would be really really cool. I am a huge fan of that. But you know, other than that, that's probably pretty. It's pretty cut and dry. I'm an easy old boy.
I'm a simple man.
I'm a simple man.
Simple pleasures.
That's a good tune. I don't know, bro. That'd be tough for me to give you a solid.
Would you have liked to have hosted Saturday Night Live?
No,
That's not your comfort zone.
No, there's a lot of silly humor involved, right?
Yeah, it's a comedy sketch show. So there's a lot of silly humor.
I really struggle with like silly, corny humor. So yeah, it'd be tough for me.
It's not corny humor. I mean, it's clever humor.
I think it's corny. You think it's clever?
I think some of it's clever. Some of it doesn't hit the mark.
Yeah, I mean, all of it's probably clever. The truth be told, I mean, it wouldn't be. They wouldn't be able to sell it if it wasn't somewhat clever.
Yeah, well, it's late at night, too. So if it was corny the last, 50 years that it's been on.
I think it's corny.
Okay,
it's a no-go for me. I would have liked to have starred in a movie, like how The Rock does and stuff. You know, some of those, like, alongside a guy like that in a movie.
Okay.
Some of the, like, Jim Brown stuff that he did, back in the day would have been really, really cool.
Catching bad guys, huh?
Yeah, now you're talking.
Okay.
Now you're talking. I'm in on that deal.
If you were catching bad guys, would you have been sort of like a badass, like, regular civilian-clothed detective like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon? Or would you have been a cop, like, dressed up in, like, a cop outfit, but like a badass cop?
Oh, bro, there's no doubt. Suited and booted.
Hat with the strap that comes underneath your chin.
It'd just be a movie
of you catching people in speed traps and stuff.
No cop stuff. I'd be smooth, cool, calm, and collected, and be able to drop the jacket and knuckle up when I needed to.
That's like what Vic Mackey in The Shield, like that.
Yeah,
wearing a hoodie and jeans.
Maybe that.
Just having your badge dangling.
I'd be able to pull it all off, Sean. It's pretty easy. I'd be able to pull it all off.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason I bring this up is because I don't know if you've heard the good news.
What's that?
J.J. Watt is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live on February 1st.
So the truth is, you just teed me up to call J.J. Watt corny.
No,
I appreciate that.
No.
In a roundabout way, that's what you did.
Although I may be about to when I play some of this audio in a minute. No, he's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live, which is, which I think is interesting because this is J.J. Watt, who still is not playing for a team that's not one of the blue blood teams in the NFL. You know, like J.J. has always been a bigger star than the team he's played on throughout his entire career. JJ is still a big enough star. He missed half the season. He's missed two full seasons within the last 4 years. Yep. He's missed two and a half seasons over the last 4 years. JJ Watt has missed. And he's still seen as a big enough star to do something that only really big stars do, host Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, he's in the realm of the most popular athletes of over the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, and he still is my point. Like, it's one thing for him to do this when he's winning Defensive Player of the Year awards,
right? Yeah.
He's doing this now. Like, he was first team All-Pro last year, but he just finished a season where his team got embarrassed in the playoffs, and he came back for some moments in the Buffalo game, but he's been largely, he's been absent for most of the second half of the season. I just think – I think it's awesome, and I agree with it. I think JJ is a big star, and I like that he gets to do stuff like this because he tends to have fun with it, and he seems like a genuinely good person. So I think it's cool. It surprises me a little bit that NBC still sees him as a is a big enough star. I'm glad it's happening, but it shows you how big a star he is, that what's happened on the field largely doesn't matter. He must still register really, really positively for stuff like this. And he's done a little bit of acting and stuff like that, too.
That helps. I was fixing to ask you. I wonder, Sean, how much coaching these guys get when you reach. And, of course, there's a handful of them. There's 10 of them. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has done some of the acting stuff. But when you – I remember Mike.
Yeah, he was just someone who, like, got murdered in the last episode of Game of Thrones or something like that. Yeah.
But I wonder, like, I was
– I could have done that.
Mike Irvin, the right, yeah, I could have done that as well. You'd have loved to, right?
Yes.
Michael Irvin was – you know, he's done a bunch of that different stuff. And Mike is a guy, when you talk to him, it's like he's in character.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. I wonder how much – and obviously J.J. Watt at this point in time is bigger than Mike, but – what I wonder how much coaching and role playing those guys, or not those guys, but J.J. Watt has received, because he's changed his whole way of going about things now. He goes down to the end zone and plays it up for the crowd consistently throughout the game. I wonder how much of that is thought out beforehand, and how much of it is just knee jerk reaction, getting the crowd pumped and stuff.
The funny thing is, when he was at his star was at its highest football wise. In other words, when he was playing his best football, was in 2014 and 2015, and he was everywhere. He's hosting the Country Music Awards. He's doing bit spots in movies. He's a big star on social media and things like that. I think he was less comfortable doing that stuff back then. He may have felt he was comfortable. He's smoother, way smoother now than he was 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, let me give you an example here. And BMAC, if you have it, this was JJ following the win over the Bengals in 2015. The Bengals were 8-0. Texans are 3-5, and it's a Monday night game in Kansas City. Texans are a 10-point favorite. They go to Cincinnati. They beat the Bengals and Andy Dalton on a Monday night for their biggest win of the season that year. And here was JJ's on-the-field interview with Michelle Tafoya following the game.
I with J.J. Watt, the victorious Texans.
Thank you, Mike. J.J., you won the game, and you still have a chip on your shoulder. What do you say? Tell everyone what you were just saying.
Oh, I was just talking to my teammates about how everybody told us we couldn't do this. Everybody said they're 8-0, you're 3-5, there's no way you're going to go into their building and win. Well, how y'all doing?
You told us before the game you wanted them in third down and long, and that's exactly what you did. What impact did that have?
Yeah, I mean, our goal was to come out here and make the Red Rifle look like a Red Ryder BB gun, and I think we did that.
Wow.
Tonight. I think he's a great player, there's a great team, but tonight our coaches put together a great game plan. We executed the game plan. Everybody did their job. It wasn't pretty. I mean, it's 10-6. It's not the prettiest game in the world, but that's a great football team over there, and we were able to do some big things on defense to help stop them to only 2 field goals.
So he's going to need better writers when he is on Saturday Night Live than whoever was writing his stuff that night. We're going to make the Red Rifle look like a Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah, he's been schooled up a little bit,
He's going to need better writers. I'm just saying. Like, he's going to need better material because he may have to do the monologue, right? J.J. Watt, when you host Saturday Night Live, you got to do the monologue.
That's intense, man.
Yeah,
you watch
dude.
More of that stuff than I do. That's not just a get off a private jet and walk in and knock it out. I mean, there's a ton of prep for that, right?
No. Yeah, there's a ton of prep. Well, I don't know how much prep there is for it. I just know it's really hard to stand in front of an audience and be funny. You know what I'm saying? Even when the jokes are sitting there on a telestrator, I would be wetting myself feeling like I was going to misread the words or something.
Right.
So he's got to be up there and be funny. I hope that they give him – I hope they don't – make him use the Red Ryder BB gun joke. That's corny.
Ooh.
Now that I would hate for you to tune in this one time that you tune into this comedy show called Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And J.J. Watt's the host, and he gets up there and he tells that joke, because then you could come back to me and go, I told you it was a corny show. Listen to this silly Red Ryder BB gun joke that he's making.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have any argument. I wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
Argument.
I'm anxious to see it, because it's a big dude to get up there and do those. Make those kind of jokes,
yeah.
Okay? Let's. I just don't see J.J. Watt being super corny to the point where he's hosting Saturday Night Live.
I think he'll do well, because they usually do a pretty good job of putting the celebrities in spots where like in the sketches and things like that. They usually put him in spots where they're comfortable. Even when they laugh at themselves during the sketch, it's funny just watching them laugh at themselves. So I think they'll put him in a pretty good spot. I wonder three things. One, how will he stack up against other football players who have done it before?
Off the top of your head, can you name some of those?
Peyton is the gold standard.
Yes.
Peyton Manning was hilarious on Saturday Night Live. He's the gold standard. I think Eli has done it before, which would stand to reason it's based out of New York. I think Tom Brady has done it before, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't remember. He has. Okay, B-Mac, was he good, Brady?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. So was Jeter.
And Jeter's done it too, yeah. But Peyton, B-Mac, you'll agree, Peyton's the gold standard, right?
Yeah, Peyton was excellent.
Peyton was incredible. He was really funny. That'll be the bar you have to clear if you want to be the best. That's number one. Number two, I wonder, Saturday Night Live's gotten super political lately. Boy, I wonder if JJ finds himself in a bit of a crosshairs of being in a political sketch. I don't know that his brand, he never tweets anything political at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a Republican or a Democrat,
yeah.
A communist. I have no idea. Like, I don't think he's a communist, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but, you just can't win. I don't see, surely that would be a bullet point of don't cross that line.
That's number two. Do you think he's in any sketches that make fun of Houston in any way?
Yes.
Do you think he's in a sign-stealing sketch at a baseball
game?
Oh,
my gosh.
Do you think they make J.J. Watt be the guy that bangs a garbage can?
I don't know. I don't know how you do Saturday Night
Live. We're just
laughing
at the idea.
Yeah.
SNL, it's February 1st. If you're listening, if you want to, it's 10 days away, 11 days away. You want to beta test some ideas, listen in right now.
Sean, how do you schedule J.J. Watt to host Saturday Night Live
within
the next 6 months and not have something about – garbage cans, buzzers, TV, something. There's got to be something.
I'll be very disappointed if they don't do that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, that would be funny.
Yes. Clint, the show's kind of funny. It's not as corny as you think it is.
Well, I mean, I've tried it a few times.
And you find it corny, huh?
A lot of the times it's pretty corny, yeah.
Okay. I think of stupid puns and stuff like that. They don't do that.
Okay.
But, we're debating semantics here. It's all good. But if you haven't heard, J.J. Watt is going to host Saturday Night Live on February 1st. And that's good. That's a big measure of what his star power still is. All right. We are live at the Houston Sports Awards. About a half hour from now, Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys, will be live with us right here at this desk. And we'll talk about the late Bob McNair. We'll get his thoughts on the season. We'll get his thoughts. I want to ask him if when they have these meetings, if there's ever any discussion of the Cowboys playing the Texans on an annual basis.
Would love it.
Yeah, I would love that too. I wonder which city would be more in for that, Houston or Dallas. I get a sense it would be Houston.
Yes.
Because Dallas, and you played for the Cowboys, so you can speak to this better than I can. My sense with the Cowboys, tell me if I'm wrong, is that they've already got like four or five big rivals that are all in the NFC.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Texans are sitting in the AFC South, which is the most nondescript division in the NFL, thirsting for a chance to play the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, I bet if you ask Jerry, if you ask him, I'm not asking, I bet if you asked him some of the most painful losses as a Dallas Cowboy owner, I would think that, which I was part of, I was on the team when they came down here and lost to the Texans the inaugural season.
Well, I'm 100% asking him that. He's said that before.
Yeah.
That it was, and I think the fact that Bob McNair is a Lifetime Achievement Award winner tonight, I think he'll expound upon it if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that for sure with Jerry Jones. He'll be by. Other big guests coming in along the way. We have Hall of Famers that are going into the Houston Hall of Fame tonight. Rudy Tomjanovich. Mary Lou Retton, Carl Lewis, all in along the way. Big names out here tonight at the Houston Sports Awards, which you can watch on AT&T Sportsnet. If you're listening today and you're going, man, that sounds like a cool event, you can actually watch it on TV. So we will be guest heavy on the back end of the show. Up next, there is a name returning to town in professional football with one of the teams here. I'm going to tell you who it is, and also. Somebody skipped their tryout with the XFL. Big shock. We'll tell you who that was next. This place is all sorts of classy right now here, the Houston Sports Awards. Sean Pendergast, Clint Stern. I'm not saying it's classy because we're here. They have like a string quartet going on over there.
I definitely bring it down a notch, brother. You think we stick out like a sore thumb over here?
Big time, especially because we're not dressed in 1920s gear.
Yeah.
I heard it was a 20s theme, so I dressed up in my 2020s gear.
It's 2020s.
It's the 20s? Right? I'm off by 100 years. What
yeah,
well,
look, we can pull that off, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool, man. We're out at the Houston Sports Awards. We expect Jerry Jones to be dropping by in about 20 minutes or so. Do you have any unfinished business with him? Like, does he have any severance payments for you or anything?
No, not that I know of.
Did you leave anything in your locker that he's been holding for
not that I know
16
of.
Or 17
not
years?
Not that I know of. I could have used three more games to get that fifth year, get me a pension. I could have used that.
Is that how much you missed it, Bob?
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate that, Jerry.
Man.
Yeah, appreciate that.
I almost want you to take that up with it.
You do know that three more games would have set me up, huh, Bob?
Yeah. Come on now. So we roll on here. A couple quick items, and then we'll get back to some Texans talk here. you weren't here in 2015 when the team was on Hard Knocks. Cecil was on the team that year.
Right.
I know you probably watched Hard Knocks.
I watched it. Yeah, yeah. Ryan Mallett was on. That was your Ryan Mallett.
Yeah. It was year he didn't know how to set his alarm clock. So,
right.
Do you remember Charles James?
I do.
Yeah. He signed with the Houston Roughnecks today.
Really?
Charles James is a professional football player in Houston.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's big time.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, I remember him. He was a show. He made the show now.
He did.
Yeah.
He was a Texan. They brought him back on the team in 2015. He was on the team for a couple of years.
I remember it.
So he picked up a couple years in the NFL.
Didn't he have a sock deal?
He was the one with the designer socks. So he's back in the XFL. Do you think you would have played in the XFL? The XFL existed in, say, like 2005. Do you think you would have wound up playing in the XFL?
I would have dang sure tried it, yeah. I mean, but the thing was, once I went to the Arena League, I went to that smaller field, and I was pretty good at that game. Like, that was one of the games where I felt like I fit better. Yeah, because the smaller field, the arm strength wasn't a problem. I could literally, I mean, a couple of the first touchdowns I threw were from my own end zone, and they caught it in the other end zone. So it was a game that I didn't have a big enough arm to be playing in, especially in the conditions that some of these guys play in. So it was definitely a better fit for me. Canada wasn't an option because the field was bigger.
Yeah.
Always outdoors, cold as hell. But XFL would have been an option for me. That's somewhere where I could have went and made a living for a couple of years. I wouldn't have been able to use it as a stepping stone because my career went the wrong way, Sean. I got me several years in up top.
Yeah.
And then I started going NFL Europe and Arena League and all that kind of deal. But that'd have been tough, but I damn sure enjoyed it.
Were you sad to see the Arena League die?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a really, really good fan-friendly game.
I always enjoyed every Arena League game. I probably went to maybe four or five games in my life.
Oh man,
it's fun, man. It was really fun.
But it's quick enough.
Yeah.
It's the you know, you're close enough to all the action to where you feel like you're a part of the game.
Yeah.
They do. The beautiful thing about Arena League was that the league had in the players, they did more for the access to the fans than the fans did for them. You know, you had to do events around getting fans active with the players and with the coaching staff and things of that nature. So it was a really, really cool dynamic, man. I wish they could find a way to make that damn thing work.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if it came back at some point, but I was sad to see it go too. The other little bit of XFL news, and I promise you we're not going to pepper you with XFL news, but when big names are involved, we will. Did you see the story last week about Chad Johnson getting a kicking tryout?
Yeah.
Did you see today?
No.
Here's the headline. Chad Johnson, former NFL wide receiver, skips scheduled XFL tryout.
How does that happen?
He just didn't show up.
Just no-show.
He informed the league Sunday that he had decided against participating. So he didn't just no-show, but they were all ready to have him try out as a kicker on Monday, and he has not commented publicly about his decision.
Well, that's a perfect example of
you drew know, that, enough that attention league, to himself right. getting the tryout. Yeah. He didn't need to actually go to the tryout.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure that his agent was trying to get a guest appearance fee, for him to just show up, and it didn't work out the way he wanted, so he backed. That's one of those deals where that's a perfect example, though. That league, they have to put as much effort into the fans as the fans would put into them in buying tickets and things of that nature. So it's surprising that they haven't worked to this point. I hope this one works, and I'm looking forward to going to a game for sure.
Yeah, I am too. I think they start up on February 8th, so that'll be fun having a little something to go to in the springtime. The weather's beautiful for football here in Houston in the springtime, no doubt about that. We're live at the Houston Sports Awards. Sean Pendergast and Clint Sterner with you, and guests coming by in the last couple hours. I think first is going to be Jerry Jones in the next segment, so that'll be fun. He's presenting Bob McNair for the late Bob McNair for the Lifetime Achievement Award. My understanding is the whole McNair family is going to be here, grandkids, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Cal and Hannah, obviously, and Mrs. McNair will all be here. So that'll be a cool moment. This is an event where there's always a cool moment or two. That'll be good. Patty is teasing the open to this tonight as if it's going to be a big production. I hope she didn't over-tease it. I hope it's as good as
Look, I took a peek in that door over there. It better be a big production. A small production is going to get lost in that room there.
No kidding. All right, so Anthony Weaver's the defensive coordinator for the Texans now. Do you think that the hiring of Anthony Weaver affects in any way how the Texans approach free agency in the draft on the defensive side of the ball in terms of the types of players they might look for or retain or try to fill this defense with? Because they have a pretty distinct style of player with Romeo Crennel, especially up front in Anthony ironically, in Anthony Weaver's old position group that he coached. They've got all those heavy guys, DJ Reader and Brandon Dunn and Angelo Blackson. Two of them are free agents. One of them, DJ, is going to get probably a big money on the open market if he's out there. Just generally speaking, Weaver or no Weaver, do you think $13 or $14 million is good money spent on DJ Reader? Where do you come out on that?
Sean, we get into one of those contract conversations where I'm hesitant to talk about numbers simply because you got to realize that the salary cap's going to grow by 15%.
Well, just know that there's only so many guys you can have making $13, $14, $15, $20, $30 million. I mean, DJ Reader gets that money. He's going to be one of the 10 highest paid guys on the team.
Yeah, no. That's
a better way to couch it then, right? Is he one of the 10 most important guys on this team?
No, I don't believe so. I love DJ Reader. I respect the hell out of what he does and how he plays the game. But I think this team needs to spend money and give attention to the secondary. And look, I do believe this, Sean, that they've got to find another pass rusher, as we mentioned earlier. Yeah. So you find a pass rusher, figure out what you're going to do with Bradley Roby. Bradley Roby, for me, is a big key here, man. This is one of those deals where if he's not a Texan, you've got to make a big-time splash sign in the secondary. You've got to go find a number one guy. And I don't know that Bradley Roby is a lockdown number one guy, but he's
the best they got.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I come into a game and I go, hey, Bradley Roby's our number one corner, I'm okay with that.
If you're a Texan fan.
Yeah. Or if I'm an opponent coming in and I've got a game plan for Bradley Roby, Bradley Roby's a player now. Bradley Roby can play this game. And the key is that I think this secondary, clearly you know this, we talked about it 6 weeks ago when I tried to sell it to you. I think this secondary is significantly better than we give them credit for.
Okay.
I think they're significantly better than we give them credit for. Not just a little bit, significantly.
By better, do you mean actual play on the field or do you mean talent level?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I think that when we look at what went on this year from a pass rush standpoint,
yes,
I'm surprised that there wasn't more teams just blow the doors off the Texans the way that the Kansas City did.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say Bradley Roby leaves, which I think is a distinct possibility.
Yeah.
My concern with Bradley Roby is, and I have nothing to back this up, this is just a general concern, just watching the behavior of this team and watching the behavior of this general manager / coach. My concern, because I would like Bradley Roby back as well, my concern is that does Bradley Roby check too many of the same boxes for Bill O'Brien that Jadeveon Clowney did? In other words, he was banged up for a lot of the year, right? He had these soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
I think medicals are something that factored in. I don't know, and I just don't know. I'm not saying I don't know what Bill O'Brien thinks of Bradley Roby in terms of the whole smart, tough, dependable thing. I have not heard him, and if he has commented on it, then somebody show it to me or direct me to it. And also, Bradley Roby was a Brian Gaines signing. You know what I mean? Like, that was...
For me, Sean, I've heard all of the tough, smart, dependable stuff you want to hear. I want to hear. For me, it's now, and you may have been the one in a post game show that we were talking about this, is you've got enough smart, tough, dependable culture guys in this organization. Your culture is strong. Now you got to go make decisions based on, man, if you let Bradley Roby go, you got to go find a one, and you got to go find a two, and you got to go find some depth. I don't know that I'm ready to lean on Gerrion Conley and Vernon Hargraves. I'm not ready to lean on those guys and say that they're staple every day, every Sunday players.
Well, that was my next question, because if Bradley Roby's not back, barring a big splash somewhere else in free agency, you're going to go into next year with Gerrion Conley, Vernon Hargraves, if they bring him back on his fifth year, and Lonnie Johnson as your top three cornerbacks. Are you ready to do that?
No, not one bit. And I love Lonnie Johnson. I think Lonnie Johnson not only is a hell of – I think he's going to be a good player in this league, but I think Lonnie Johnson is a matchup nightmare for some guys, and that's hard to say coming off of Travis Kelce's performance against the Texans. Look, I mean, this is one of those deals where when you talk about corners, you've got a really good group that if you build depth, and if Vernon Hargraves turns the corner, and if Gerrion Conley turns the corner and keeps getting a little bit better with an offseason in Houston, man, you got your slot figured out. You got one in Bradley Roby that can roam the field and play slot or either side boundary or field corner. You've got some depth at that one or two guys that can play special teams and be depth. You let Bradley Roby go, I think all of a sudden you're trying to find your top two guys, and you're really banking on Lonnie Johnson turning the corner in a way that just quite frankly, not many corners do.
What if instead of re-signing Bradley Roby, you give the Bradley Roby money and whatever, you know, give or take a few million. What's a few million among friends?
Right.
give or take a few million, you take the Bradley Roby money and you give it to, say, Yannick Ngakoue from Jacksonville, the pass rusher, or Shaquille Barrett, who, I get it, he's kind of a one-year wonder with Tampa Bay, yeah. But the dude had like 17 sacks this year. He's better than anything not named J.J. Watt that the Texans yeah. have rushing the passer, and use that money there. Would you feel better about going into next year with those corners?
Well, if you're convinced, Sean, that's the guy, right? If you're convinced that rush end is the guy that can come in here and make a difference, right? Then I would start there. Yeah, I would be okay with that, and then you build in on the back end, because your secondary, as Nate Burleson said in the I believe it was a Buffalo game or maybe it was a Tennessee Titans game last in week 17. He said if the receivers, he said, hell, if I had time to run two routes in each play,
yeah.
He said, hell, I could get open today. I'd still be playing and
absolutely.
Making money. So if you're gonna give up that Roby money, Sean, you got to invest it in the front seven. There's no doubt about it.
All right. We are live at the Houston Sports Awards presented by Insperity. We're at the Hilton Americas right next to Toyota Center. And getting you ready for tonight, if you're planning on coming out here or if you're planning on watching on AT&T Sportsnet. Either way, we're getting you ready because we're going to have a lot of big guests coming up along the way, including up next, Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys. He's here tonight to present Bob McNair, the late Bob McNair, for his Lifetime Achievement Award to the McNair family. Jerry Jones joins us on the program next. And we are back live at the Houston Sports Awards presented by Insperity. We are. It's theater of the mind out
yeah,
here.
Yeah, baby. Come on.
Theater
come on.
Of the mind.
It's fixing to get rolling in here, boy. It's yeah. time to get right. Stand up.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean Pendergast, Clint Sterner with you. We expect to have Jerry Jones dropping by here in just a few minutes. He was at the Senior Bowl. I'm guessing he doesn't like – I'm guessing he'd rather be doing something else than going to the Senior Bowl.
No, I don't.
I'm talking about, you know, like playing in a Super Bowl this week.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be ideal. There's nothing that my man would want more than that.
A few years ago, the Texans' whole coaching staff got to go coach one of the teams at the Senior Bowl because yeah. they went 4-12 that year. They could already plan ahead.
Do you know who's coaching them this year?
It's got to be two non-playoff coaches, I'm sure, because you got to be able, you know, you can't. The playoff teams can't plan on coaching one of those teams. They might be playing in the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
Yeah. The Texans saw that as a big opportunity. They saw that as a thing where they felt like that was really valuable that year for them because that was the Senior Bowl in 2018, right? Because 2017 was the year they went 4-12. And that was the year they didn't have a first or a second round pick. So the Senior Bowl was yeah. a pretty valuable experience for them to get some experience. Jordan Akins is a guy that they yep. drafted because of what they saw at the Senior Bowl. I'm guessing that if John Harris were here, he could tell us one or two other guys, I'm sure, that were in that draft class that they drafted because of what they saw at the Senior Bowl. Teams see that as a really valuable chance to coach and be around guys.
Look, there is no doubt about it. I think it would be a huge advantage to – you talk about all the picking and prodding that goes on with these teams to try to figure out what players are all about, man. I couldn't think of a better way than you get to spend 3 or 4 days literally meeting with these guys, interacting with these guys, eating lunch with them, obviously practicing the game. And so you see their ability to process the game at what level from their position. You see their social, you know, their ability to communicate socially and see them around their teammates, man, that would be a huge advantage.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so we await Jerry Jones as soon as he gets here. We will we'll chat with him. We're at the very beginning of starting to dig into this Super Bowl between the Chiefs yeah. and the 49ers. I think it's going to be a really good one. I think you did a really good job of laying out sort of the contrast in styles between these two teams. Both teams that can really move the football but do it two totally different ways. One has the best quarterback in football right now. The other one threw the ball 8 times. They yeah. both won their games by double digits this past weekend. There's a few things that are happening right now, Clint, with the early sort of analysis on this that bug me a little bit. I'm seeing some chatter over the first couple days of the analysis with Patrick Mahomes where they're saying, yeah, you know, Mahomes – he's good. He's really good. But, boy, he sure does have a lot of weapons around. You know, they're almost discrediting Patrick Mahomes. And Stephen A. was one of the guys I saw do it. But yeah. I've seen it in other places, too, where it's like, yeah, Mahomes is really good. But, boy, I mean, he's got the best weapons of anybody in the league. And look how open all these guys are when he throws the football. He's never having to throw into tight windows because these guys are open all the time. Look, I'm someone who is a card-carrying Deshaun Watson sycophant. So Deshaun Watson is my favorite quarterback. So it took me a while to get here. But Patrick Mahomes is, in my mind, the best player in football right now.
Yeah, and I think he separated himself, Sean, over the last couple of weeks, but he with the ability to come back, not get rattled, rally the troops. I've seen two or three highlights of him getting on the sidelines and getting in guys' tails about getting ready and staying committed to the plan and everything's going to be okay. It's early. So I think that aspect of it, and then the bigger part of that is the ability to have a quarterback that can not only extend plays and throws the football well outside of the tackles, but a guy that can put his foot in the ground and literally go make plays with his feet. I think – I don't remember – and I've watched a lot of Pat Mahomes. I don't remember seeing Pat Mahomes willingly stay in bounds and run and go make plays when it was 100% unnecessary like he did this past weekend. And so when you add that facet to his game, I believe he's by far and away the best in the game right now. Now – Sean, I think it's only fair to say that you've got the relationship between offensive coordinator, head coach, quarterback, and skilled players is obviously a big, big, big part of it. I would lean more towards the success that Pat Mahomes is having, other than himself. I don't want to take any credit away from him. Other than himself, I would say that the relationship with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy is bigger than the actual speed that they have at receiver. If you had to rank them, it'd be Pat Mahomes' ability to play the position at a high level. Secondly, it would be Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, the job they're doing with his skill set. And then thirdly, the athletes that they've plugged into that offense has allowed them to really, really be dynamic. And I don't see it going away anytime soon.
All right, so we are seconds away from Jerry Jones joining
we
us
are.
Here. Yeah. Are you nervous he's going to bring your HR report from when the last year you were there?
No, Jerry would never do such a thing.
Your employee evaluation?
He would never do such a thing.
Yeah.
Never, 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 never.
I'm going to let Clint and Jerry have their moment right here.
How's it going, man? I'm doing well. You?
Yeah, this is good.
Sir.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Mr. Jones, pleasure to meet you. Sean Pendergast. Yeah, come on in and sit down. We're on the air. Yeah. Jerry Jones about to sit down with us here in the chair here on Sports Radio 610. He's looking dapper. He is ready to present. Yeah, you're looking good. You're looking good. He's ready to present the Lifetime Achievement Award tonight, and we welcome him on the show right now, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Jerry, welcome to Houston. It's great to have you here for this great event.
Well, it's wonderful to be here, and, of course, I'm getting to be here because of my friendship with Bob. But I didn't know that I was going to be on air with Clint, who I've known a lot of my life, doing back before the Cowboys.
Yes, sir. You bet the old Arkansas days.
That's right.
So, absolutely.
And I thought he was a great player. Great player. Certainly the best-looking quarterback we've ever had.
Is that right?
And I've got a grandson that's a quarterback.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That is great. Well, welcome to Houston. And you mentioned it, the reason you're here, the Lifetime Achievement Award for the late Bob McNair. Can you, I guess, just tell us where that relationship started between the two of you and how you guys became so close.
Well, it initiated at the time that he was pursuing getting Houston, if you will, the franchise that he was to be a part of. It had, in my mind, it had a great legacy. I would come down here, sneak away when I was a kid, a young guy, and hang around the hotel here in Houston when Lamar Hunt and Bud Adams and that group were putting together and had the AFL. Mm-hmm. And my dream was to somehow get involved, and I'd just hang out just to go get them a Coke or do something like that. I just wanted to be close to it. I never dreamed, though, that at some point Bob McNair would come along and really bring football back to what arguably could be called the home of football, Houston football, high school football.
Yep.
Clint, if you remember looking at the Texas, the honor roll of the University of Arkansas, you take the Texans down and you take a bunch of them out of Smiley High School out here.
That's right.
And you'll take a lot of them off the wall up there at Arkansas. But that's a long-winded way of kind of getting into what I thought of when I saw Bob.
Yeah.
I said, all of this to think about. And then here he comes in. He makes a presentation to the owners about bringing the team to Houston, bringing it back to Houston. He was elegant from the very beginning. He bested me every time I looked around. He was a few steps ahead of me in every way. And I'm going to mention tonight, but there were two times, and maybe two of three, that I've teared up and cried in the NFL. And one of them was when we rolled in here. It was inaugural night, and we let the new Houston beat the Dallas Cowboys, and that was hard to take, but if it was going to happen, it needed to happen with Bob McNair.
Yeah, that was one we talked earlier. I said I was actually on the team then. I know that one was tough for Jerry to stomach right there. That was what about you know, coming here tonight? I know Patty, she said you picked the phone up and called you, and man, you, it was drop of a hat you were going to be here. I know you're busy with the Senior Bowl. How did that all unfold and making this happen tonight?
Well, of course, it's just a quick snap, but I would have walked here from the Senior Bowl or any place to get to recognize Bob and what he's done for the NFL, what he's done. He loved his players. He loved his players, and he loved the fans. And he really had it together. The day he walked in the room of the NFL, he probably was in the top three or four owners the day he walked in. Yeah. As far as just bringing that kind of asset, if you will, to football and to the NFL. And, of course, what he ended up doing and the managing that he did to get those two Super Bowls here were magical. I know this, and I'm not saying it because I'm standing in this lobby. I've said it before. Houston put on the most genuine. The people of Houston made everybody associated with the NFL that came to Houston feel better than any city that has ever had the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And that really, I believe, came from, by and through, a lot of what Bob McNair was about. So I can go on and on about his accomplishments. He was a strong person. Very, very strong person. And I'll never forget, he got up in front of the room and he said, guys, to the league office, I want to be real clear, to the league office, he said, I think you guys are trying to run the show. It's run from out here among the owners. Mm-hmm. And I know he got some criticism for that, but that's Bob McNair.
Yeah.
And Bob put a lot in the bucket with his relationships. So that when it came time to take some out,
yes,
hard
sir.
Times, talking straight times, he could take a bunch of it out because he put a lot of good stuff in there with his individual relationships.
And that's Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Before we get off of the ownership aspect of things, Cal McNair's been in charge for, what has it been, I don't know, 12, 14 months?
Yeah, since last November. Yeah.
How does that change? Obviously, the relationship changes because it's a younger generation. How do you communicate with him, and how do you think he'll do moving forward as the owner here?
Well, Cal will be the first to tell you, but to have gotten to be involved and play option quarterback and be there at Bob's side as a young man, and I'm talking Cal, to have gotten to see those times that Bob had to think on his feet or think in the spirit of what it called for at that time, probably prepares him as well as anybody that we've got sitting in the room. Because obviously he's got a lot of great ideas, a lot of imagination. This is absolutely one of a handful of the best markets there are in sport, called South Texas, called Houston. And he's up to the challenge, and everything that I've seen him do decision-making wise in ownership, I know that Bob would have been so proud of him, but he had him ready to go.
Jerry Jones joining us on Sports Radio 610. Something we talk about a lot down here, Jerry, is it would be a lot of fun if we were to face off against the Cowboys down here more than once every 4 years. Is that something you think will be fun if Houston and Dallas could, if the schedule gets redone in some way in the future, augmented in some way, if there were rivalry games, if there could be a battle for Texas more than just a preseason game?
Well, the only problem is that maybe I'd go for it now that Bob's not around, because he put a lot of knots on my head. I think every time I looked up, he was winning. And that's good. Frankly, I'm glad it happened as I stand here right now. But seriously, I've always thought that these natural rivalries should be accentuated relative to the NFL, where they've got them. And they do have some of them. They've been engendered by the fact that they're in the same division a lot of times. But there are some others that aren't. And those make great games and make great natural, my town against your town, my city against your city. Nobody's got any more of that than Dallas and Houston. So I like the idea.
Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, man. Obviously, Mike McCarthy, you got a new man running the ship there. A lot of change as of late, man. How are things going? I know it's only been, it's been a week. It's been a week, maybe 10 days. I mean, how are things going up 45?
Well, it is just that. It's very early. Mike's got his staff that he's still putting together. They're back in Dallas, not at the Senior Bowl, and we'll take care of evaluating this talent, at least for right now, while he's doing that work to put the staff together. The thing I like about Mike the best is that Mike has been in the foxhole. He certainly had experience getting shot at, but he's been hit. And when you can get in the foxhole with someone that has shown they're made of the right stuff, they've had it in their past, they've done good, get them in with you there after they've had a little flack and taken that, then you may really have you something there. Because, as you know, everybody gets theirs. It's just a question of when you do. And I think, really, without being too poetic here, Mike does bring a combination of experience yet a can-do attitude. I know that he wants to show them, and we want him to show them everything he's about with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, we know that you have a lot of people you're going to go talk to here between now and the event tonight. It's great to have you here in Houston. It's an honor to have you on the show, and we're looking forward to your speech tonight for Mr. McNair.
Well, we're excited about being here. Good to see you.
Good deal. There it is. Jerry Jones joining us here on Sports Radio 610, owner of the Dallas Cowboys. That was good stuff. And a reunion with Clint Sterner.
Yeah, man.
I almost forgot about the double reunion. It's not just Cowboys. It's that Razorback thing going on as well.
Yeah, look, there's definitely some hog ties there, man, and it's always good to see. I'm telling you, it baffles me is what I should say. Is my man, I ran into him in a bar one night, probably 6-7 years after I was done. I'm probably about 4 or 5 years after I was done. And it was good times being had. It was, you know, light was low, the fog was thick, you know, and it was one of them. I mean, from across the room, my man recognizes me, and we'd be like to have a conversation. It's just crazy to think. You know who else is that way? Deion Sanders is the same way.
Yeah.
You could not see him. I only saw Deion, hung around Deion 2 or 3 times, and I saw him 6 years later at a Super Bowl, and the dude grabbed me out of line and, come on, you're with me. This guy's with me. I mean, it's just those guys with that.
Big,
with that
gregarious,
good gosh, man.
Gregarious personality.
Yeah, the memory that these guys have is amazing.
It'll be pretty cool tonight. I'm looking forward to his speech honoring Bob McNair. We head into the 5 o'clock hour. We do expect more guests along the way. Clinton, I'll get you updated on everything that's gone on around the world of sports today. And getting into a better mood here in Houston, I think, is a key. And I think this event is going to help tonight. We'll talk about that and more as we head into the 5 o'clock hour. You're listening to Sports Radio 610.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!